Read from the New King James Version, Luke 14, verses 25 through 33. Luke 14, verses 25 through 33. Now a great multitude went with him, and he turned and said to them, If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. For what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple.
Well, good evening, everyone.
Wow.
Always thankful for the opportunities that I have. If you're visiting with us, we're very glad that you have come our way. We're very glad that you're with us. This past week, we had the 4th of July, Independence Day. And that really got my thinking and was kind of my motivation. You know, when you think about counting the cost, which is, you know, the topic of our lesson this evening, you know, you start to think about those men. Those men, the Continental Congress, the Founding Fathers, those individuals that came together and came up with this document, the Declaration of Independence, that, you know, you start to think about it and try to put yourself in their shoes. I think it's very hard to do so. Because to put yourself in their shoes is almost, you know, mind-boggling, because these individuals are saying we're going to separate from England, which was one of the, you know, most people would say the biggest military power of the time. And you try to put yourself in their shoes, well, what would that be like us today? That's almost like if we try to win against our own government, which, you know, based off Romans chapter 13, perhaps we should think twice before we do something like that. But these men say, you know what, we're going to go against England. That'd be like us getting a band of people together, maybe a couple of states in the United States, and say, we're going to go against the United States of America. I mean, that's a pretty formidable task. You know, going against the Air Force, Navy, military, Marine. I mean, all those groups, you start to think about what these men were doing. Certainly, they had to count the cost. And what I say is, if you read the writings of the Founding Fathers and these people at the Continental Congress, they were thinking about the cost. They were thinking about the cost of their families, their fellow citizens, they're thinking about all the people around them. I found one quote that I liked in particular. It was actually John Adams writing to his wife Abigail. And he wrote this to his wife Abigail. He says, I am well aware of the toil and blood and treasure that it will cost us to maintain this declaration and to support and defend these states. Yet through all the gloom, I can see the rays of ravishing light and glory. I can see the end is more than worth all the means. What was John Adams doing? He was counting the cost. He's writing to his wife and he said, I know the declaration that we have just signed, it is going to cost a lot. It's going to cost a lot of toil. It's going to cost a lot of blood. It's going to take a lot of money financially to get this done. He says, I know all of that. And he says, I'm looking into this gloom that really doesn't have an end in sight as they're just starting this process. Looking into this gloom, all the blood, all the toil, all these things he looked into. And he says, you know what? I really have to look beyond that. I have to look through the gloom. And what does he say? He sees through the gloom. He says he sees the light and glory. And he says, the end is more than worth all the means. What was John Adams doing? He was carrying the cost. He says, this process is going to be worth it. Yes, the cost is going to be extremely high, but it is going to be worth it in the end. You know, we have to count the cost in our spiritual lives and our Christian lives. Just as we think of those individuals, our founding fathers in relation to July the 4th that has just passed us by, individuals that counted the cost, perhaps we should count some costs in our lives this evening. You know, when it comes to Christian life, there is no middle ground. There is no middle ground. You're either a Christian or you're not. And there's no part-time discipleship. And it's really one of those things, it's all or nothing. You either accept God or you reject God. And that's something that we have to consider as we go throughout our lives. What spiritual choices are we going to make? Are we going to count the cost in our lives? I think it's a very natural thing to count the cost. We do it all throughout our lives, and I think that's what God is trying to point out in Luke chapter 14. And he's talking to this group of individuals that are his disciples, and he talks to them, and he basically says, you know what? Your family is even going to have to take a second seat if you're going to be a Christian. Your family does not supersede God. God is the number one. In fact, in verse 33, it says, likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all, that he cannot be my disciple. He's explaining the cost of being a disciple. I want to go a little bit further than that, but he's talking about the cost of being a disciple. But he uses stories here that we can understand. He says, who goes out, in verse 28, who goes out to build a tower and doesn't first try to figure out if they can complete that tower first? You know, I kind of went through that process with my family, was building a house. I had to sit down, I had to think, how much is this going to cost me here? How much is it going to cost me here? How much time is it going to cost me here? How much time is it going to cost me here? I had to sit down and weigh those decisions. And we all have big decisions like that in our lives. Well, we have to sit down and we have to count the cost. He talks about a salary, he uses warfare as an example. No one goes throughout their life without counting the cost. But what's unfortunate is many times in our spiritual life, I think people do. And I think that's many times the problem with people going spiritually astray in their lives is they aren't counting the cost. They aren't counting the long-term cost. They get locked into the short-term, and all they can see, kind of like Mr. Adams is talking about, all they can see is the gloom. All they can see is the toil of the Christian life. All they can see is the hardship of the Christian life. All they can see is the problems of the Christian life, but they can't see beyond and see what's at the end of the Christian life. Let's consider the cost of some things in the Christian life, some things around the Christian life that perhaps if we don't consider, we could get off that straight and narrow path and perhaps lose our way. First thing I'd like to consider this evening is the cost of sin. You know, if you don't consider the cost of sin sometimes in your life, you're certainly going to be spiritually astray. If you don't consider and sit down and think about what is the cost of sin, if I sin all throughout my life, not repenting, not asking for forgiveness, not seeking God and the forgiveness and mercy that He supplies, if I don't turn to God, what is the cost of sin? And in fact, many of us in our Christian lives, we don't understand that before we became Christians, what we have to do? We have to count the cost of sin. We have to consider, am I willing to take on what the cost of sin is? But many people never sit down and never consider that. They don't want to consider it. They don't want to take the time to consider it. They don't want to think of the long-term implication of sin in their lives. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, it talks us about the wages of sin. It says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Have you counted the cost of sin? Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Have you counted the cost of sin? The Bible paints a picture. If an individual goes throughout their life not repenting, not asking for forgiveness, not going through the steps of becoming a Christian, a child of God, they are going to have this sin stain on them. It needs to be taken care of. It needs to be washed away. Well, what happens if it's not washed away? What's the cost of that? Well, I think we see a little piece of it in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, we have a judgment scene. We have individuals that have come to the end of their lives, and they're being separated off to the left hand and the right hand in Matthew chapter 25. And at the end, it says in verse 46, and it says, and these will go away into eternal punishment. Have you counted the cost of sin? Have you counted the cost of living a life of sin? Because if you don't consider that cost, I think many times in your spiritual life, you will go astray. Because the sin doesn't have a cost. If there's no penalty, if there's no obligation of me as I go throughout my life, if there's no cost of sin, then why change? Why change after all if there's no cost? Have you counted the cost of sin? Not only sin, but you think about just disobedience to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, it talks about this idea of obedience and what's going to happen to those individuals that are not obedient, not listening to what God says. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. It says, since it is a righteous thing that God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. When we look at this passage, it's very plain and straightforward. When the Lord Jesus is revealed, with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on you. Who are these that vengeance is going to be taken upon? The vengeance is going to be taken on those that do not know God, and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you considered the cost of sin? Have you considered the cost of disobedience? Because if you don't consider those things, I think many times our spiritual life will certainly go astray. We need to think about those things from time to time. I think a lot of times what happens, and sometimes in the denomination, well, sometimes we're guilty as well, is that we'll focus on one side of the coin, but not the other. We'll focus all the time on heaven, but we won't focus any time on hell. But you know what focusing on hell is doing? It's counting the cost. Counting the cost of sin, considering what will happen long term if we don't take the corrections that we should in our life. You know, there's all different areas that we can consider in relation to the Bible. In relation to obedience and following God's word, have you counted the cost of not following God's word? Counted the cost of not listening to God's word? Have you counted the cost of an unscriptural marriage? In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9, it kind of lines that out for us. Jesus is in a conversation. He says in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 9, he says, I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. And whoever marries her, who is divorced, commits adultery, except fornication. We have these things that are laid out in the Bible, but people won't take time to consider, what would be the cost if I continue in this lifestyle? If I continue in doing these things, what will be the cost be for my life, for my soul? But people don't count the cost, do they? See, that's the problem that we have, is everyone's thinking so short-term, they never stop to say, what would be the long-term ramifications if I continue in this action? If I keep doing this, if I'm not listening to God's words, if I don't like what God says here, what are the punishment? What are the consequences? Have you counted the cost? Have you counted the cost of being lukewarm? Being a lukewarm Christian, the Bible talks about that in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. It talks about the church there, the problems that they have. It says they're not really hot or cold, they're somewhere in the middle. What is that? Not being committed. Not being committed to what God wants, to what God teaches, not being committed. You know, some people have this idea that you can half commit to God and it'll be okay. I don't have to fully get into this Christianity thing. I don't have to fully be involved in this church stuff. I'll just do a little bit here and there and I'll be okay. Well, I think that's being described here. Lukewarm. Not being hot or cold. You know, you're not really fully into it, but you're not really fully out of it. You're just half in, half out. Well, how does God feel about that? Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. It says, I know your work. You are neither cold nor hot. I would rather that you would be either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. And it goes on in Revelation chapter 3, and it talks about their attitude and how they're basically saying they don't want God. They can take care of themselves. They don't need God. We have the answer. You know, there's so many people that mess it up in their lives, and you think, what's going on? And I think what's happening is they're getting lost in the short term, and they're missing out on the long term. You're missing out on the long-term consequences of sin. See, sometimes individuals are like, well, I can get away with this sin today, and this day is all I'm thinking about. As long as I can sin today, it'll be all right. But they don't think about the long-term ramifications. They don't think about tomorrow they could die. They get lost in the short term. You know, and that's kind of what John Adams, and actually if you look at some of his writings, when he was trying to convince these other people of the Continental Congress that independence was the way to go, if he had to convince many of these people to stop focusing on the short term, stop focusing on the toil, stop focusing on the finances, stop focusing on all the problems that are going to show up, all these hardships, but focus on what you really want in the end. Are you getting lost on the short term? A lot of people do that in their lives in relation to sin. They'll never think about the long term. They'll never think about their death. They'll never think about tomorrow could be the last day. They never plan. They never consider these things. They don't count the cost. They just count the cost in the moment. And you know what? The moment, it's not costing me a whole lot right now. Have you counted the cost of sin? Have you counted the cost of sin? So many people get lost in that. Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 22. Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 22. I think we find someone who gets lost in the short term. It says, now a certain ruler asked him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good, but the one that is good is God. Verse 20, it says, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness. honor your father and mother. And he said, all these things I have kept from my youth. So Jesus heard these things and he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. You know, you think that for the moment, this person's focused on the right thing, right? They're asking about heaven, eternal life. But it's, what God is really pointing to is really, you're focused on the short term, aren't you? You're focused on your covetousness, you're focused on your riches. You know, if that was, if really your pursuit was heaven, you would drop these things. And isn't that really the story? If should we just drop our sinful behaviors and focus on the long term long enough, we would make a lasting change in our lives. But people don't focus on the long term long enough. If you really focused on the long term, if you really focused on heaven, you would start dropping those things in your lives as best you could. I'm not saying that it's easy. I'm not saying that it's an easy process. But some people struggle and refuse to look on the long term and last on the long term and consider the long term consequences of their actions. Some people will just do it for a little while. Just a second. Just a minute. I'll think about heaven just for a minute. I'll think about hell just for a minute. But if you actually thought about it for maybe 2 minutes, perhaps it'll make a lasting difference in your life. The people move on so quickly when they start thinking about those things. They don't want to think about it any longer than a second. They don't want to think about it any longer than a minute. A lot of times they'll hear the preacher preaching about something and it'll prick their heart for a second, and immediately what they'll start doing is their mind will start drifting to other places. They might start attacking the preacher and say he doesn't know what he's talking about. I mean, this is an internal dialogue. You know, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't know what he's saying. That's not a problem in my life. It's not a big deal. And they try to get their thoughts away from the long term. This young ruler's thoughts are lost in the things of the world. And Jesus, just for a minute, is trying to point his mind. He says, if you could get this out of your life, if you could get your covetousness out of your life, you know, you could focus on the long term. But he can't. He can't let it go. He can't let it go. Have you counted the cost of sin? Something else I want you to think about is counting the cost of following Christ. Counting the cost of the Christian life. And you know what? Jesus starts working on his disciples early in his ministry. He is trying to get them ready for the cost of being a disciple of his. He works very early on them, similar to, you know, our founding fathers. There's many of those individuals here trying to convince those other individuals at the Continental Congress. They were trying to convince them, you know what, we understand that this is going to be a long haul. We understand there's going to be difficulties, but we understand that there's going to be hardship. And do not acknowledge those would not be sincere, that would not be, John Adams was saying, I understand. People are going to die. We are going to lose battles. There is going to be carnage. There's all these bad things that are going to happen. And you know what? Jesus doesn't point his followers away from that. When Jesus asks someone to be a disciple of his, he is working on his disciples and trying to show them that there is a cost to follow Jesus. There's going to be a cost. There's going to be a cost to wear that name Christian. There's going to be a cost to serve him. And we can start looking at many of those costs that Jesus laid out. He's pretty straightforward about it. That's one of the great things we have about Jesus, is he's not trying to deceive us. He's not trying to lead us astray. He paints a nice and very clear picture for us. You know, he paints a very plain picture when it comes to our family and the cost that it could cost some individuals that follow Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 39. He says, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Here's the cost of the Christian life. You know, I think of my grandmother. My grandmother, she wrote a paper, I've talked about it many times, but it impacted my life in a major way when I read it for the first time. But she wrote, Why a Member of the Church of Christ. She just graduated in 8th grade. That's nothing against her. I think an 8th grade education was a lot more than maybe some high school, you know, diplomas nowadays. But she had 8th grade education. She wrote on 2 to 3 pages, Why a Member of the Church of Christ. And when she became a Christian, she got kicked out of her house. As soon as she became a Christian, they said, you can't come back. You can't come back. You know, there's many of our brothers and sisters in Christ that had to go through this. There's a cost to become a Christian. And for some of us, it hit different areas of our lives. We all had a cost to pay to become a disciple of Christ. It might have been a little different. It might have taken on a little different face value. But for many people, this is the cost. And Jesus is not really dancing around the issue. He says, I know what's going to happen. I'm talking about what's right and what's wrong. And you know what? Many people, in the course of their life, are going to choose wrong more than they choose right. And a lot of people will avoid the right, and they won't walk the right. And some of those people are going to be those of your own family. You know, many times that's the cost of the Christian life. It's a hard aspect of the Christian life. And there's something else that's hard in the Christian life. It's just acceptance and general persecution. John chapter 15, verses 18 through 22. Now, be reminded, these are Jesus' words. John chapter 15, verses 18 through 22. Says, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own, yet because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecute me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. You know, you look at this, and Jesus is saying, hey, what did the world do when I came? They hated me. They hated what I said. You know why? Because I said that there is right and there is wrong. And you know what? Some of those individuals I was talking to, some of the things that I said were wrong, were some of the things that they were doing. And he says, you think you're going to get different treatment than me, but I'm the master, and you're the servant. You're expecting a different treatment. You're going to be hated. You're going to be persecuted. The same things that happened to Jesus, the way I look at it, is if I'm not persecuted in some way, shape, or form, I'm mighty not going to my job at. How can you try to live a life like Jesus, and yet at the end of his life, he's persecuted? Why? Because he's telling people what's right. He's telling people what God wanted them to hear. And if we try to follow in his footsteps the best we can, even though I desire to live peaceably with all men, just by living the Christian life, just by trying to follow Christ's example, there's going to be some ramifications of that. There's a cost. And that cost sometimes comes and accepts it. Sometimes you're rejected by individuals around you. Sometimes there's people that say things about you. There's all kinds of things that can happen. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Will suffer persecution. I remember I preached that one time, and an individual came to me afterwards and said, you don't really believe that, do you? And I said, well, I know he says it right there, you know. What more do you want me to do? I mean, unless I'm messing up the context, which is possible, but let's look at the context. It says, you know, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It seems like that should be something that we should be expecting, something that's going to happen. It's going to be a cost for the Christian life. And you know what? These costs can wear on us as Christians. You know, when you look at these things, and your family can be a cost for the Christian life. You know, your friends can be a cost for the Christian life. Acceptance around as you go throughout your life can be a cost for the Christian life. Persecution can be a cost of the Christian life. You know, all that can wear on you. And you've got to keep the right perspective. You've got to keep the right perspective. It's difficult sometimes. You know, I figure it's similar to the individuals that were fighting for independence. You know, there was a lot of gray and gloomy times as they were fighting against England, all these battles they were losing. There's times that George Washington's troops didn't have all the arms they needed. And all these things. Sometimes the men didn't have shoes and all these things. And all these hardships were coming. You know, people were dying. Friends were dying. Family were dying. All these things were happening. And in that moment, in that dark moment, and all that hardship and all those things, the cost seemed so high that you can't bear it. And I can tell you as a Christian, as a human, I think that many of us have found ourselves in our lives at some point where we looked at ourselves and we said, wow, this is a lot. This is a lot to take on. Did you count the cost of the Christian life? As you go throughout the Christian life, I can see many times that you can focus on the wrong things. And what I encourage you to do is focus on kind of what John Adams was saying. I know I keep going back to that, but I just love that quote. If he says, I look through the gloom. I look through the gloom, and through the gloom I see a light. And he said, that's really what I'm focused on. And I think that's what we have to do in our lives, is when all these dark things come and all the persecution, the hardships, the trials, all these things are piling on us and we feel like the cost of the Christian life is too high, what do we have to focus on? We have to focus on the life. We have to focus on the hope of heaven that we have. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26, it says, and Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, loses his own soul? What will man give in exchange for his soul? There's a significant cost to be a Christian, and I think it's something that we can't overlook. It's something that we do have to consider. There's a spiritual cost, there's a physical cost of living the Christian life. But there's one more thing I'd like you to consider this evening. I think you should consider the cost without Christ. The cost without Christ. We've considered the cost of sin, we've considered the cost of the Christian life, and when you really look at those two, you're really going to have to decide between those two to some degree. Is you're going to have to choose, you know what, I'm just going to live in my, you know, worldly lifestyle, all these things and everything without Jesus, and when you die, you have an eternity in hell. That's what it is. Then you have the other choice, you have the Christian life. And there is a cost of the Christian life. I'm not denying that there's not a cost of the Christian life. There's hardship, there's pain, there's things that happen in the Christian life. It's a rough road. But at the end, it's heaven. See, one, focus on the short term. One, focus on the long term. What are you going to focus on? What I tell you to do is focus on Christ. Count the cost without Christ. Count the cost of a life without Christ. I think Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12 paints a good picture without Christ. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12, this paints a great picture without Christ, in my opinion. It says that at that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. These people without Christ, if your life is without Christ, what do you have? Really, you have no hope. Well, no hope? What are you talking about? I'm living a good life. You know, I've got money, I've got friends, I've got, you know, all these things, and I'm just a little sin in there as well. My life's great. How can I have no hope? You have no hope beyond the grave. Who offers hope beyond the grave but Jesus Christ? He's the only one that I found that proves himself over and over again that gives you hope beyond the grave. Without Christ, you have no hope. Have you counted the cost of unbelief? In Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, it says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. The condemned part doesn't sound so good. What is the consequences of a world without Christ, a life without Christ? You have no hope. You have no hope. And in relation to our spiritual lives, again, we believe the Bible and its teachings, that if we don't believe and we don't pursue a relationship with Christ in our lives, we will be condemned. Have you counted the cost of religious error? Have you counted the cost of possibly being wrong? Being sincerely wrong. See, I think many times people get so prideful that they won't consider their own positions, look at their own positions, see where they could be wrong, where they made a mistake. Could you be wrong? Have you considered the cost of being wrong? That's something that keeps me studying and always searching God's Word, is because I definitely don't want to be wrong when it comes to eternity. Have you counted the cost of being wrong? You know, you look at a passage like Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31, where you have the rich man and Lazarus, two men that have passed from this earth. One man was very rich, he lived a great lifestyle, and then when he died, he ends up in punishment and torment. And we have this other individual who lived a very rough life here on earth, and yet he is going to paradise. In fact, when you start reading some of those passages, it says, we're in Luke chapter 16, and Luke chapter 16, verse 25 says, but Abraham said, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. You know, what a flip-flop. Are you going to focus on the long term or the short term? I think it's really going to come down to that in our perspectives in life. You know, the price is high to live the Christian life, but how high is the cost to live a life without Christ? How high is the cost to live a life without Christ? I like what Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 and 8. He says, but what things were to gain to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. You know, you think about Paul in a statement here, it's kind of what we're talking about, is what would you give for Christ? You'd give it all. And you know what? Nothing would ever compare to what Christ is, what Christ means in our lives, what Christ can do in our lives in terms of salvation and in terms of the lifestyle that he offers for us to live as Christians, as children of his. You would give it all. It wouldn't matter what it was. But for some people, it does. Have you ever regretted a decision later that you made in the moment? And in the moment, the decision felt so good, but you know, later on, didn't feel so good. You know, I think of cake. You know, that cake looks good in the moment. You eat that first piece, oh, that was good. You know, you start going to that second piece. You know, I'm going to try to get two down, you know. In the moment, feels so good, looks so good, tastes so good, it might be good. But then, as the hours roll on, you start to realize, not a good decision. I think the counting the cost, really what God's pointing at, is can you think long term about your life? Can you think long term about sin? Can you think long term about these decisions that you're making in your life? Can you think long term about the Christian life? Can you think long term about all these things that are happening in your life? You know, there's no sins that would be worth a relationship with God. Don't regret your decision. The decisions that you're making now will affect your eternity. Are you counting the cost in the moment? Are you counting the cost in this moment that you may regret later on? People postpone, people say almost persuaded, almost a Christian but lost, almost a faithful Christian but lost. I tell you that there is a high, high cost to follow Jesus Christ. The cost to be your family, the cost to be friends, the cost to be wealth, the cost to be fame. But it will cost you a lot more to leave Christ out of your life. And many times as we go throughout this life, I don't deny that there's a lot of gloom, there's a lot of hardship, there's a lot of trials, there's a lot of tribulations. There's a high cost to the Christian life. But it doesn't compare to what awaits those that are faithful to Him. You know, it's kind of like your house, you know. It's hard to see how these little payments each month will get you to paying off your house in the end, you know. In the moment, those little, you know, you talk about those payments, you know, each month. Sometimes, you know, it's harder than others. You try to make those. And it's hard to see long term. And that's what we're talking about this evening is can you think a little bit long term? Can you think like John Adams did? Can you think like John Adams did? Now, I know he's talking about, you know, worldly independence, but I want you to think for a second about your Christian life here as he's writing to his wife about independence. Think about your spiritual life. He says, I am well aware of the toil and the blood and the treasure that it will cost us to maintain this declaration and support and defend these faiths. Yet through all the gloom, I can see the rays of radical light and glory. I can see that the end is more than worth all the means. Have you counted the cost, brothers and sisters in Christ? Have you counted the cost if you're a non-Christian here this evening? I can see the end is more than worth all the means. No matter what we go through in this life, no matter what hardships, trials, tribulations, all the things that we go through, it can be all worth it. Why? Because of the Christian life and what Jesus did for us. Because of His mercy and forgiveness, we have an opportunity to be with Him in heaven one day, and that will be worth it all, won't it? Seeing through the gloom, seeing through the doom of this life, and seeing what we really need to see, the light. Perhaps you need to become a New Testament Christian this evening. Perhaps you've walked off that straight and narrow path. You need to come back. We would love to help you in any way that we can. If you're subject to a limitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and as we sing.